And good morning. Hi, this is Roy Morgan, and I'm very glad to be with you this Saturday morning. It's beautiful outside. It's probably 64 degrees. It feels so good. All right, this program today is Health Essentials. You know, one of the interesting things about a human being is they all have their own unique way of trying to interact with others. They have their own personality. And obviously, I'm no different than you are in that God has given each of us a unique way that we learn. We have unique skill sets. I think a lady was telling me that she could play the piano and the guitar and the violin and just about everything. I can't do that. That's not my system. That's not my skill set. But I do like talking about this stuff. To me, I think it's so interesting studying the human body, how God designed it. And the truth is, I know so little about it, but it's so fun to learn. So thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedule to kind of tune in and listen to what I have to say. But I think I have some good information for you. So if you will, just sit back, take a few notes. I can tell you this, if you take a note or write something down, the chances of you remembering it or putting into practice, it just goes up exponentially. Now, this is an interesting article I came across the other day. It comes from, let me read the abstract to you, but it's back from 2016. All right. There is a type of mushroom that's called chaga. It is spelled C-H-A-G-A. I know you probably phonically already figured that out, but so I won't have to keep spelling it over and over again. If it's a new word for you, that's the reason why. Chaga. At least that's how I say it. Maybe some people pronounce it shaga. Anyway, this caught my attention right here. And in the article, they say it caught my eye when I read the phrase that chaga inhibits lung cancer. I thought, okay, I want to see what they have to say about that. And by the way, I know this is probably true for you also. There's probably three or four articles that I'll read every week that I think there's not much to take away from that. I thought they kind of promised there was going to be some good information that the average person like me, just an ordinary human, can use. There's nothing. There's not really much takeaway. So I wonder, why do they do that? Anyway, this one has a good takeaway. Okay. Supplementation with an extract of the mushroom that's called chaga. It actually has its Latin name here. Inonatus obliquus. I'm sure you're super excited about that. Anyway, it says that chaga may improve the prospects of lung cancer patients. Now, I have no idea how many people that are listening that have lung cancer, or they have just had some type of an imaging test from the doctor, and they show there's a growth or a mass in their lungs. There's got to be somebody. And maybe if it's not you, you know somebody that's suffering with lung cancer. Okay, Japanese animal study that was published in the journal Helion in 2016. I'm sorry, I may have mispronounced that. Okay, here's the actual researcher's title of the article. Continuous intake of the chaga mushroom, aqueous extract, that just means they dissolved it in water, suppresses cancer progression and maintains body temperature in mice. That second one may not make sense, but I promise you, you want your body to produce energy. That's what energy is. It's really heat. I'm not going to read all the name of the researchers. Just let me get to the crux of the matter here. Okay. So if you ask me, what does chaga mushroom have to do with cancer? Well, for a long time now, traditional healers have known that there's a property in the chaga mushroom that helps people against some forms of cancer. Now, just because they don't know exactly what the protein is or the substance is they can identify, because they didn't have all the high-tech equipment 200 years ago, didn't mean it didn't work. Okay, so with some reasoning, according to fundamental research, animal studies have shown that chaga administration can indeed inhibit various forms of cancer. And of course, the way I'm thinking about this is, what do you mean inhibit forms of cancer? Well, don't you want to get ahead of the card on this or try to get ahead of the curve? Yeah, so maybe what you do now can set the tone for how long your body can function at a high level and your immune system can work better before you actually have cancer. Now, that little excerpt right there, that came from a journal called Molecular Cells. And there's another journal called Life Sciences. Anyway, you could look that up if you wanted to. Here's the nitty-gritty to me right here. Part of the mechanism of action of chaga is the substance in the mushroom that stimulates the immune system. You might want to hang on to that idea right there. And I'm going to do a slight diversion, but I think you'll get it. In oncology or the treatment of cancer, what does a person do if the doctor recommends radiation and chemotherapy and chemotherapeutic drugs, and the first one doesn't work, so they use a second one, and that one doesn't work, they use a third one, and nothing seems to stop the cancer? Well, sometimes doctors now, as a last-ditch effort, they will think of a treatment called immunotherapy. And that may be a fancy word, but what it means is, what can we give a human being that's going to help their immune system actually rise to the occasion and have their natural killer cells go over to the cancer and beat the crap out of it? That may not be good English, I apologize. Or go up and slice it to pieces and destroy it and eat it. That's what you want your immune system to do. Destroy the cancer cells or the tumor. Well, that'd be called immunotherapy. So there's a substance found in chaga mushroom that is excellent at stimulating your own natural, God-given immune system so it can actually do the very thing that God designed it to do. Okay, number two. This one came from Journal of Ethnopharmacological 2011. That's a mouthful, I'm sorry. But, I'm not sorry, but I mean, sometimes people really want to know. And I have people tell me they look these things up, especially if I give you the journal number. But anyway, they showed in this one study that taking chaga, it inhibits allergic reactions by the immune system. Okay, so what is cancer? That's the immune system underperforming, not doing what it should do. Well, what if the immune system overreacts to everything in your world? Like, what if somebody starts walking up close to you with a bag of peanuts and you go, no, 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 don't come any closer. I'm allergic to peanuts. I'll go into anaphylactic shock. Well, that's an allergic reaction. Maybe you've heard a story about somebody getting stung by a bee or bitten by fire ants or, you know, yellow jackets or a wasp, and they go into anaphylactic shock. I mean, doesn't that seem bizarre to you? But that's when the immune system so severely overreacts when it shouldn't be doing that. So the researchers are showing that, isn't this interesting? Not only does chaga help the immune system against cancer, but it helps the human body by inhibiting all these severe allergic reactions. So I kind of am playing both sides of the coin here when it comes to the immune system. Now, this is the other one. This comes from This one comes from a journal called Fish Shellfish Immunology. I had no idea there was a journal of that name. Most likely, if I tried to subscribe to it, it only cost $1,832 for a yearly subscription, and they probably give you one journal a quarter. I'll just read it from a distance. I don't have to have the journal. Besides, think of all the books and the other things I could buy. I could buy a book for probably $18, and I could tear into it and start dissecting everything and trying to see how much can I extract from it. Anyway, this journal called Fish Shellfish Immunology 2012, it showed clearly that on the other hand, chaga mushroom extract activates the immune system so it can clear out of control cells. Well, wouldn't that be an example or a definition of what a cancer cell is? I don't even care if you want to call a cancer cell a parasite. What's the definition of a parasite? Something that's looking for a free lunch. It doesn't work for it. It doesn't give you anything good in return. It doesn't do anything beneficial for you. That's unlike you eating, say, a handful of almonds, and 10% of the calories go to feed the good, beneficial bacteria that live in your gut. Well, what do the good bacteria do? They help you digest your food. They manufacture all these really super fabulous short-chain fatty acids and other compounds that actually help your immune system work better. I know you know this probably because you're a student like I am, but if you give a little bit of undigestible, I should say soluble or insoluble fiber to a whole bunch of bacteria living in your gut, and they'll actually start spitting out vitamin B12 for you. You give them a little bit of food, and they in turn, they make vitamin B12 for you. Well, do you need vitamin B12 for your immune system to do its job? Absolutely you do. It's actually critical for life. So here's this study that shows that if you have out-of-control cancer cells and or pathogens, what that means, well, you know what a pathogen is. That's going to be like a virus or a bacteria or a parasite. Could even be like a worm, amoeba, protozoa. Well, what about candida, something that's like a fungus that can actually wreck your world? Well, chaga helps with that. Oh, yeah, here's the other one right here. This comes from the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, 2018, October 5th, page, volume 224, pages 63 to 75. I know, that's too much. I just wasted your time there. But they show that chaga contains substances that directly kill cancer cells. That's according to South Korean researchers. They found this compound, they call it a sterol, that's actually very powerful in helping the human organism or the human body to kill a cancer cell. I've got a picture of a chaga mushroom, but I don't need one. I've got like a huge jar in my office on the shelf. Everybody always asks me what it is. They think it's brownies or chocolate. No, it's not a brownie. It's the chaga mushroom. I've actually given several out to people. Anyway, it's cool. It's interesting. I mean, when you start thinking about it, it's like so fascinating how this substance can actually help the body. Okay. I'm actually just now rolling around to the study that I began with. I'm sorry I made this too long. You can't see the pictures that I'm looking at, but they're just so intriguing how this works. Let me give this to you. The topic is chaga mushrooms, okay? Molecular biologists from Showa University in Japan, they gave mice an extract of chaga in their drinking water every day for 3 weeks in a row. So you understand that. In order to get the mice to consume the chaga mushroom, they just put it in their drinking water. So when the mouse was thirsty, guess what they got? Some chaga mushroom extract, okay? Here's what's happened next. After 3 weeks of the chaga, the researchers then injected lung cancer cells into the flanks of their test animals. The flank, that'd be like right over your kidney, wouldn't it? How would you like a researcher to take a needle or a syringe that's filled to the brim with aggressive cancer cells? Would you like that? No. But I understand why they use mice. I'm not against them testing them on mice. I'm not for being cruel to animals, but we're trying to find out how to help human beings not to be diseased. The Japanese subjected mice that had not been given the chaga extract to the same procedure. So the ones that had chaga, guess what they got? An injection of cancer cells. The ones with plain water without the chaga, guess what they got? A big-time injection of cancer cells. Here's the results right here. In the mice, in the chaga group, the tumors became less large and heavy than in mice in the control group, which is shown in the figure below, which you can't see the figure I'm looking at, but let me just kind of make it sound simple. They injected these mice with a radically aggressive form of cancer, and then the ones that had chaga for 3 weeks, that's 3 weeks, that's not 3 months, that's not 6 months, that's 3 weeks. To me, that's very impressive. There were less tumors that spread to the lungs. They were a whole lot smaller. They weighed less. There weren't as many that formed. I already covered that. And there was less metastasis. I think everybody knows what the word metastasis refers to. It means the cancer was able to travel or migrate from the injection site, or it's a starting point, to somewhere else. It says the cancer cells metastasized to the lungs. On the scans, the Japanese saw fewer metastasis in the lungs of mice that had received chaga than the lungs of the control group. Yeah, the chart's impressive. Okay, here's the dosage right here. This is your takeaway for you. Because you're probably asking the question, well, I get it that they put a little bit of chaga in the water of a mouse, but I'm not a mouse. How much does a human being need? Okay, so if I understand the publication correctly concerning the mice, if they had been like adult human beings, you know, like us, now if there's children listening, maybe that number will be a little bit less. It's about 60 milligrams of the extract a day. Does that make sense? So if you write anything down, you might write down chaga and then 60 milligrams. Okay, this was a point that I thought was interesting right here. I don't know if I even said this before. I don't think I did. But you know, some people in Japan, they actually just drink chaga as part of their daily life. Now, before I go further, if I asked you what's the mean or the average lifespan of an average Japanese person, well, it's 88. 88 years old before their body passes away, or before they die. Well, what is the average lifespan of an American man? Well, it ain't 88. It's not even 84. Well, how about 80? Nope. I think it's like close to 76. If I'm wrong about that, I'll have to look up the latest numbers or statistics. But maybe we could learn something here. Maybe if the Japanese, it says according to researchers, that dosage, which I just told you was 60 milligrams daily, is similar to that received by Japanese people through daily chaga tea drinking. Okay. You know, you can just purchase the ground up into a fine powder where you just take a little bit, it doesn't take much, but you can make a tea out of it. And it will be the darkest, brownest tea that you've ever had in your life. My dad loved making what's called compost tea. Now, that was dark also. But then again, it had some brown stuff in it, and I'll let you figure out what that was. It came from a cow. Anyway, so anyway, that's a study right there that comes from Helion, 2016, May 12th, Volume 5. Okay, that would correspond to the month of May, a monthly journal. So anyway, there's your first tidbit of information about chaga. And of course, if you're like I am, you don't want to wait until you're so sick that you've lost all your energy and strength. I mean, I don't mean to be rude by saying this. I'm just making observations. But, you know, you and I can go in public today and we can kind of look at people that their metabolism has just been destroyed. And their ability to even walk is just very difficult. I think I was watching a news conference. And I'm just going to say I watched a political human walk from the podium across the stage. I'm not going to give the name, but, you know, you tell me if you've seen it too. But he could just barely, his gait was so shortened. And somebody asked me, why is his gait so short? Why is he taking short shuttle steps? I said, because if he took a normal step, he would fall. That is one sign that a person has very severe brain atrophy. They've lost so much of their brain. Do you really expect a person with very severe cognitive decline and memory loss or even Alzheimer's, that they're not, do you think that they're going to agree with any logic? No, they don't. Anyway, if you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. If nobody calls, I'll go on to the next one. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yeah, tell me the difference in the magnesiums. I know there's lactate, citrate, some of the others. I know somebody was telling me that one makes you poop and one makes you rest. And what are the difference in the magnesiums?
Well, which one do you want? Do you want one to help you sleep and rest
both
at night?
Both?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to answer the question like a couple different ways. So if you went to the grocery store and you said, okay, here's a bottle of magnesium, and you flip the label around and it lists the ingredients and it says it's made of magnesium oxide. Well, magnesium oxide would probably be a very good form of magnesium if you wanted to make sunscreen and rub it on your nose. But in the real world, magnesium oxide, it doesn't transition into efficient absorption and utilization. It's just absolutely the cheapest form. I know this is probably going to be a shock to you, but there's some people in the world that try to make a lot of money by giving you a product that's inferior. Have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, yeah.
I was at the store the other day, and this woman was paying for her groceries with one of those EBT Lone Star cards. You know what she bought? She bought 40 packages of ramen noodles. 40. But my point is, that would not be what you call the highest quality nutrition. That's not the same as sweet potatoes and broccoli and a whole chicken. You get that. So there's other forms of magnesium that can work very well. I'm partial to magnesium lactate, and let me just explain why. When you look at the studies on magnesium lactate, one that I read not that long ago on the radio that came from Croatia, all they did was give women that had very significant osteoporosis, they gave them magnesium lactate, and it didn't take long until their bone pain that they were experiencing, you know, and your bones are going to hurt, and they're going to cry out in pain when they're weak. And so what do you do to your bones when they're crying out in pain? You feed them. And so on one level, magnesium may actually have more to do with rebuilding bones that are weak than even calcium would. That probably comes as a shock to you, but if you look up the studies on that, magnesium plays just one of the most mission-critical roles in helping to keep your bones strong, or if they've gotten really weak, like with osteoporosis, it plays a role in helping them to rebuild. So from that study from Croatia, they used magnesium lactate. And it worked better than anything else to kill the pain. That just means it works. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think magnesium lactate also crosses what's called the blood-brain barrier. Now, to me, that's very, very advantageous because when you lay down in bed at night, you do not want your mind racing 180 miles an hour, processing a million bits of information, solving all the problems of the world. I've heard rumors that women think about conversations they've had with other women the day before. Is that true?
I don't know.
So you don't think about conversations that you've had with family members when you lay down at night, do you?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I was really trying to be funny because most men don't do that. But anyway, have you ever seen men get together and say, you know what, I really want to talk about my feelings today? Men don't do that. I'm sorry. That joke kind of fell flat. But anyway, my point is this. When you take magnesium before you go to bed at night, you're trying to help set your body up for more successful, deeper sleep. Now, maybe an associated point, your liver is one of the most metabolically active organs in the body. It helps keep your hormones in balance. It's a very precise, sophisticated filtration system. The liver is trying to make sure that you're staying in good working order and you don't get poisoned. Well, when somebody eats a lot of carbohydrates at night or more carbohydrates, then your liver is going to say, oh, great, I got to process all this. Well, one of the minerals your liver needs to process food at night is magnesium. So if a person's not getting enough magnesium, you know what usually happens? They wake up wide awake between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one sign of a magnesium deficiency. Other simple ones would be that your eyelid just twitches out of control or you have cramps or Charlie horses or spasms. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I would say there's a correlation between anxiety and depression also, but that may be a topic for another day. But here's how the other experiment goes. Let's just say that a human being said, man, I can't go to the bathroom. I I feel like it takes forever for me to pass my poop. I hope that wasn't a bad word, but that's just the way that people say it. Or I'm constipated. I hadn't had a bowel movement in like 6 days. Well, the experiment would be try taking some magnesium before you go to bed at night. And I'm just going to say magnesium lactate for simplicity in 3 capsules. Well, what if over the next 3 days nothing changes? Well, then you might change the experiment. Say, okay, I'm going to up the dose because I want to find out what does my body really, really need? Because I'm a unique human being. Maybe I need more than others, or maybe I need less. Well, what if you take 4 capsules before you go to bed at night, and all of a sudden, when you wake up in the morning, you go, oh my goodness, this is like working out great. I had the best bowel movement. It came out easy. I didn't have to like strain for 45 minutes. That's usually not a good sign if a person can read an entire novel trying to go to the bathroom, right? It's too long. And so you could experiment that way, just keep increasing the dose of magnesium until you find the Goldilocks just right amount to have a bowel movement. Did you know that blueberries contain magnesium?
No.
What would happen if there was a grizzly bear chasing you and there was a blueberry bush and you ran past it? The grizzly bear would probably stop and eat the blueberries instead of you. That'd be a genius move. How fast can you run if a grizzly bear is chasing you?
I don't know.
Would you like to put it to the test later this afternoon?
Oh no.
I think I'll pass too on that. So if a person's waking up in the middle of the night, like 12 to 3 a.m., that would be, in my mind, the liver's crying out. There's just not enough magnesium to process the carbohydrates and keep your hormones in balance.
So you recommend magnesium lactate?
Well, that's one of the best ones, yeah.
Okay. And that would help you rest and also help you poop.
Yeah. I mean, I have 3 articles right here in front of me that I think I looked at. And they show specifically that the amount of magnesium in your body is actually one of the greatest predictors of how long you're going to live and how healthy you're going to be. Now, without me being overly negative, is that your interpretation of health, that you've only spent 60 out of 61 days in intensive care over the last 2 months? I don't like that. I'd rather you say the last 60 days I've been working and going to church and taking care of my own needs and serving and helping my fellow man. So there's an optimal level where magnesium, when you lack magnesium, there's a whole bunch of healing and repair and maintenance of the body just goes undone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So magnesium is one of those things. I think you kind of need to saturate your body with it over time. I don't think you can really correct a magnesium deficiency in like 1 day, but you can start. If the food had all this magnesium, we wouldn't need to supplement with it. But how do you get magnesium from food that's grown on soil that's very deficient in magnesium?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like these men and women that raise cows. And the cows, they get to eat all this different types of grass and leaves and weeds and all these things that are rich. And you know what? When the cow poops on the soil and pees on the soil, isn't that cow trying to re-enrich the ground where, you know, the circle of life can just get better and better? That's why grass-fed beef is probably more nutrients-dense than beef that comes from a feedlot where they pump them full of chemicals and hormones and give them corn. So I hope that helps you. Is there any other questions you have?
It does. Thank you much.
You're welcome. You. All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Okay. Man, thanks to John Paul, I'm actually becoming a master of pushing the correct 2 buttons. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, hang on a minute. Let me turn you down so I don't echo.
Thank you.
We have talked before. I've got a friend of mine in Virginia, and she is 91 years old. She has cellulitis, and they have given her quite a bit of antibiotics. She's had a UTI for at least 6 months that they have not been able to get rid of. And since she doesn't have access to you down here, and I do, I told her I would call in for her and see what you'd have to say to her.
Okay. Can she get up and walk under her own power?
Oh, absolutely.
So does she actually get up and move a lot? Does she have like an exercise bicycle that she just pedals away on?
Nope. She does not.
Okay. Well, let me explain why I'm saying that. All the fluid in her legs where she's got the cellulitis has become so stagnant and so dirty. It's so full of toxic debris and waste. It can't leave her body. But if she starts pedaling on a bicycle, that will start increasing the level of blood flow into her legs. Is that where she has the cellulitis, her legs?
I believe so.
Well, where else would she have cellulitis?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, does she say that my legs are swollen and they're stretched tight and they're red and they hurt?
That she really hasn't said. She
okay.
said that she had cellulitis.
Well, I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I think of. Out of the hundreds of times that I've seen cellulitis, it's almost always been the legs. I have seen it before in the arm, but that was from a spider bite, so different story. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So if she gets the idea that she should start to move her body, I think that would be a move in the right direction. Now, I'm going to tell you what I would do if it was me, okay?
Okay.
I would go and purchase what's called hibiscus tea. You probably knew okay. I was going to say that anyway. I would make about 3 cups a day, and in the hibiscus tea, each cup, I would probably put 1 teaspoon of raw honey and then okay. 2 teaspoons of just Bragg's apple cider vinegar or another one that has all that sediment at the bottom of it, the one with the mother.
Okay.
I didn't say your mother. I meant the mother. And so if she would sip on that, the other thing that's just so critical that she's got to do besides she needs to be on that exercise bicycle a minimum with cellulitis. And I hate to say it this way because she's 91. I get that. But it's going to have to be a minimum of probably an hour to an hour and a half a day.
Okay.
So if that means she needs to do 5 minutes every hour of the day, that's fine by me.
Okay.
Anything, but you got to get that stagnant waste moving and push it out of the body. Now, with cellulitis, the immune system is just plumb exhausted. It's worn out. So I'm kind of a fan when the body's worn out is giving what's called desiccated spleen. I can't even tell you how many weird things that I've seen where the immune system can never work right, and you give them spleen extract, and all of a sudden they start to get well. But the spleen is actually the largest filter of the immune system, so if your friend started taking spleen extract, we're trying to introduce some energy in the body to help the spleen filter out all that toxic lymphatic fluid. That's part of cellulitis also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one thing.
Is that a pill?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay.
It can be either a tablet, a pill. It can be a powder. That's gross. Most people don't do that. Or you can take in capsule form, but it's just called desiccated spleen. Just think of a spleen that's been removed from a calf, and they just dehydrate it and grind it up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. How much?
Well, whatever the bottle recommends, probably times two.
Okay.
I mean, there's like no chance of somebody overdosing on spleen. That'd be like you taking liver and say, I just overdosed on liver. I'm going to have to go to the ER. You're
okay.
laughing. But does that mean you've come close to overdosing on liver?
No, but I absolutely love liver. Calf liver, chicken liver. I like liver.
Oh, this means you're one strange woman to most people. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
I have a feeling you're unlike any other woman that you know. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
That's
so
correct.
The most important thing that she needs to eat right now is protein.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you just a short primer course. As a human being ages, they don't synthesize protein. And the immune system cannot rise to the occasion and actually confront an infection like in cellulitis without enough protein. So I would probably talk her into laying off every form of grain and sugar just because it's just going to wreck her immune system. Now, if she needs something sweet, that's called a bowl of strawberries.
Okay.
Or, I don't know, in West Virginia, do they have, did you say Virginia or West Virginia?
She's in Virginia.
Oh, I was one state away. Sorry about that. So raspberries, blueberries, cherries, that's her sweetness if she needs something.
Okay.
But there's also, they're also loaded with all these different compounds that help your immune system work better. So if she needs something sweet, if she could grab full, a handful of blueberries, that's what I want her to do. But she needs protein. Okay. She needs protein 3 times a day. That's going to be the hard challenge for her. Because as most people get older, they eat a heck of a lot more carbohydrates and sugar, and they don't eat enough protein. I mean, this is not what I call brain surgery. I could go to Walmart right now and just watch what people buy when they're 91. Usually what they do is they stack the outer part of their shopping cart with Diet Coke or Coca-Cola.
Mm.
I'm sure you've never seen that in the grocery store, have you?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I knew you hadn't seen it. That's why I'm giving you this new revelation that people buy sugar.
Mm.
They don't even know how they're being poisoned. And the okay, number one, if the Food and Drug and I know, but if the Food and Drug Administration really cared about our health, would they allow all this garbage to be purchased so easily by people? Oh my goodness! But I guess you can't make a person take care of themselves, can you?
Nope.
Now, if it was me, I would be rubbing some castor oil all over those legs.
Okay.
As much as she can. So if she wants to do it twice a day, hey, that's brilliant. I'm on board with that. So give her plenty of eggs, plenty of fish, chicken. I hear there's wild chickens in Virginia. I think they're called turkeys. Hey, I've been through Virginia before and seen wild turkeys in the woods. They are cool.
I have wild turkeys at my farm in West Virginia.
There you go. That's where the West Virginia came from, right on the river, right?
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay, so has her doctor come up with a plan to get her over these UTIs?
No, and that has concerned me because he just goes from one antibiotic to another.
Well, that is the plan then. That's the plan. I'm not going to do anything else but just switch drugs around.
Yep, bad plan.
So what, you think that's a bad plan?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you know that's a bad... Oh, okay, use your logic.
But it's not working.
You mean that's the kind of logic you're going to use on the radio?
Absolutely.
If it doesn't work... So, what's the definition of insanity again? Never mind. Anyway, so what I would do is emphasize protein. So that could be eggs for breakfast. It could be an omelet. Personally, I don't mind if she has cheese, but I would... One of the things she needs to do is she needs to put salt and seasoning and spices on her food. If she has a urinary tract infection, I would just take as much hot sauce as we could get on those eggs. Spicy foods have been shown to help stimulate healing of the immune system.
Mm.
How does that affect me if she sheds a little tear down her cheek because it's so spicy? She's in Virginia. She can't get mad at me. I'm in Texas.
That's true. She comes down to visit.
So she needs to also take just, it looks like lard, but it's called extra virgin coconut oil. She needs to rub that directly into the female area, the skin over the bladder. That is an old remedy from like India, but it does work. It really does.
Mm.
And so there's a type of acid found in coconut oil. It's called lauric acid. It's almost like the name Laura, but it has an ick on the end, so lauric.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been shown to inhibit bacterial infections. And the other thing is you gotta tell her that every time she goes to pee, she's got to make every mental effort to push as hard as possible to drive that pee out. The stronger the
bladder.
What now?
To empty that bladder.
You have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's study after study that shows if somebody can just make a stronger stream, the UTIs will just go away.
Mm-hmm.
I do like cranberry juice. There's a product called Azo. I'm sure she's tried that.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
But she's got to bear down every time. Like if I had a 3-year-old boy and I said, "Son, we're in the woods. You need to pee. Just go over there behind the pine tree." Well, if I wasn't watching him, I could see a stream come out about 10 yards long because they have so much pressure behind them.
Yeah.
That would be different than an 85-year-old man with a swollen prostate, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. What else you want to know?
Hey, that's the question of the day, dear.
Okay, well, that's not everything, but that's a good start for her, isn't it?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll give her a call
all right
in an hour or so and tell her what you said.
Sounds good.
Thank you for being there.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate your phone call.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You too, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-589-8507. And you know exactly what I was trying to say. What do you do if everything you try to improve your health is just one more drug and one more surgery and you just never, ever get well? What are you supposed to do about that? Okay. This is the one that I want to revisit right here because it really pertains to the woman's phone call a while ago. And so here's the title of the article. Okay. It's called the Takahata study. That means it comes from, well, it also says the Yagamata. Okay, where does this come from? Here's the title of the article. This is the title of the study. Association between serum magnesium levels and mortality in a community-based population, the Yagamata study. All right, are you with me on that? And this is short. It won't take long. But it's you might want to pay attention to this. If you have a value for living, if you value having energy and feeling good and trying to keep your body in reasonably good repair where you can function, you may want to pay attention to what I'm saying. Okay. In the year 20 and 22, which was just, that was just yesterday, researchers from Yagamata University Faculty of Medicine, they published a study involving 1,314 residents of the region in the Journal of Nutritional Science and Vitaminology. I know that's a mouthful. The mean age of the study participants when the study started was 63 years of age, so they were not looking at very, very young kids, like 17-year-olds, okay, or 15-year-olds. When the project started, the Japanese examined the study participants. And I think that's good. They're just checking them out, trying to find out what is their health status. They also determined the concentration in the blood participants of magnesium. Then they, and that's easy to do, every one of you that's listening, ask for magnesium. Ask your doctor or your nurse practitioner or your nurse or your osteopath. I like osteopaths. I think they're brilliant doctors. Most doctors are brilliant. Most nurse practitioners are so easy to get along with, too. And they're super smart. And they're agreeable to doing what's in the patient's best interest. So I really dig that also. So what they did was, but you just ask them, please test my magnesium. Now, I'm going to give you the numbers in just a second, so you might want to write this down. Then they followed the study participants for 10 years. Okay? During that period, 7.1% of the study participants died. And you already know, death is just an unavoidable part of living on the earth, isn't it? It is. Here's the results. The average concentration of magnesium in the blood, this is the point that I want you to get right now, of the study participants was 2.4 milligrams per deciliter. Do you get that? Write down the number 2.4. Have your magnesium blood levels tested. See if your magnesium is at 2.4 or if it's higher or if it's lower. Okay? Based on this average, the researchers divided the study participants into two groups. A group with more magnesium than the average and a group with less magnesium than the average. Okay, are you with me on that? So you've written down the number 2.4. That was what they found was the average. Of course, this is Japan. I don't know if it'd be this way in America. It'd probably be 2.1. We're worse off. Well, we are. That's just the truth of it. Okay, so they divide them in two groups, those two above 2.4 and those below. Okay, so when the Japanese tracked which study participants died over a period of 10 years, they saw that the study participants in the group with a higher magnesium level, they had a 73% lower risk of dying than the study participants in the other group, those below 2.4. The researchers brushed aside other factors as much as humanly possible. Well, I'm looking at the chart right here, and I know you can't see the graph I'm looking at, but if you ask me, after about the three-year mark, man, they start dropping like flies. The death rate just starts to totally, it all starts piling up, those in low magnesium. So if you're 63 right now and you want to kind of put the odds in your favor to make it to 73, you might want to think about magnesium, okay? Anyway, isn't that interesting how the research shows that? To me, every single physician or nurse practitioner that can order a blood test or get a blood test, maybe you're a podiatrist, maybe you're an ophthalmologist, order the magnesium. Folks, this information is just too good just to blow it off and not pay attention to it. I say the more that we pay attention to these things, the better. I don't know if you know this or not, but magnesium, it plays a whole lot of critical roles in the body. And you're probably saying, well, evidently it keeps you from dying, Dr. Morgan. Have you learned that? Well, I'm paying attention. Maybe you need to reevaluate a couple of things you're doing. Let me give you an example. There's a chemical called phosphoric acid. That's the substance that's in all those soda waters that are on the shopping cart that they stack on the upper part of the outer, you know, cage of the basket of your shopping cart. All these soda waters or Cokes, they contain phosphoric acid. You ever heard of a Red Bull or a Monster Energy? Man, I know you know this. I'm just being rhetorical. I'm just telling you what we already know because we have eyes and we can see. There are people that drink 5 Monster Energies a day. They don't drink anything else. I just am aghast over what are they doing to their body. You talk about a way to mess the brain up, that would be a way to do it. But magnesium, every time you drink a soda water, I don't care if it's a Sprite or a 7-Up. I mean, if you do that once a month, I don't worry about stuff like that. I'm not going to really spend a lot of mental energy worrying about you if you drink a Coke. And by the way, I'm not going to spend any energy worrying about you if you drink 10 Dr. Peppers a day. That's your choice. We all have a free will. We have to decide what we're going to do. But the payoff is not going to be good for you if you do that. But every time you drink a soft drink, you just wash out easily 40 milligrams of magnesium. And I'm telling you, that magnesium is so precious. Maybe I should say it's either life or death. But because a person doesn't die in one day, they go, oh, that's not a big deal. You tell me. Going back to what I said earlier, if the average age of death in Japan is 88 years of age, and the average age here is 76 for a man, I don't know, what does that tell you? Does that tell you you had 12 years of your inheritance given to you by God Almighty, your Creator, the one that designed you, showering you with blessing upon blessing upon blessing? God is responsible for giving you every drop of water that you drink. By the way, it belongs to Him. And the food that you're eating on earth, that belongs to Him too. That's His food. And do you like oxygen? I've kind of studied that oxygen is very critical for living. Well, that's His air you're breathing too. The Bible tells us it's because of Him that we live and that we breathe and that we have our very being and sustenance. I will not argue with that. Now, if you want to take the position that this is just all one big fluke and, you know, the universe is a big bang and there's no order to it, you can believe that if you want. But I am going to say that God is the one that's keeping us all alive. And so, if the average lifespan in Japan's 88, and we're dying at 76 here in America, you just had 12 years of your God-given life taken from you because of poor choices. If you want to drink Coca-Cola all day long, you're saying to God that you don't care about the 12 years that He gave you. Okay? That's my opinion. Probably nobody else is going to agree with me on that. I have people all the time that try to convince me how healthy they are, and smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and abusing their bodies and drinking soda waters all day long doesn't do anything to them. I know that's nutty, but it happens. Did you know that there's a strong relationship besides vitamin, and I know I said magnesium, you have to understand that magnesium is working with all these other systems in the body and a lot of other nutrients. There's no, and I'm saying it simply because I want to give you information, but magnesium, it works together with vitamin D, for example. So I came across this article that I find so interesting. It was published in the year 2013. Okay, there it is right there. And here's the title of the article. And this one is also relevant to 100% of the people that are listening this morning. If you have ears, then listen to what this study says right here. All right. It's called, the title of the article is Improvement of Pain, Sleep, and Quality of Life in Chronic Pain Patients with Vitamin D Supplementation. You think that has any relevance at all to any human being listening? I say it does. Okay. The abstract says if you suffer from chronic pain and there is little vitamin D in your blood, that's another one you can ask your doctor or your nurse practitioner or your nurse to order for you. Vitamin D. Okay, here's a study. In the year 2013, Army physicians from the Atlanta Veterans Affairs Medical Center, okay, I guess that's Atlanta, Georgia, as opposed to Atlanta, Texas, they published an experiment in the Clinical Journal of Pain in which 28 veterans, it was a small study, I don't know if you've heard of this before, they served as the test subjects. The veterans all had chronic pain in at least two different places in their body. You tell me, do you feel like you can grasp and understand what chronic pain is? I think that you can. Maybe you're so young and perfect and your body's in such good working order that you can't, you know, be empathetic, but I think that you can get what pain is. Okay. They also all had low levels of vitamin D. I have the numbers here, but the print is so small. Even with reading glasses, I can't make it out. I need a magnifying glass. The chart's so small. I should have blown it up. Okay, some of the veterans were actually deficient in vitamin D. Most likely that would fall below the number 30 on a blood test. And what the physicians from the Army gave them was a supplement that was 50,000 international units of vitamin D2 for 3 months. So that's what they gave the ones that were deficient. 50,000 units of vitamin D2 for 3 months. It was given to them orally. Now, the other veterans that weren't deficient, they were insufficient, which means they may have had a little bit more vitamin D, but it wasn't enough to get the job done and keeping their body in good working order. And what they did was they received a daily supplement with 1,500 IUs of vitamin D3. Now, as I look at these numbers, I'm thinking, they're really not giving them a lot. 1,500 IUs of vitamin D3, which that is the active form. So if you're out in the sunshine, that's the kind that your body makes. Okay, here's the results right here. And by the way, when I read this, they didn't have a placebo group. So it wasn't like they had a group of people that were in bad pain. And they said, let's see what happens when we don't give them anything. Well, you already know what's going to happen. They're going to continue to be in bad pain. And they're going to be pretty cranky and grumpy. Okay. After the supplementation, the subject suffered significantly less pain. Okay. That's your first point right there. Moreover, they slept better. Oh, well, how's that working for them? Well, probably pretty good. The latter is obvious. The more chronic pain often means less sleep, less sleepless quality sleep. That's because you're in pain all the time. Could you imagine you're constantly shifting and moving? You wake up in pain or the pain wakes you up. That's what I should have said. So maybe less pain in your body means you're a little bit more agreeable, you're a little bit nicer, and more pain means you're like the Grinch or Oscar the Grouch. Okay. After the supplementation period, the test subjects rated their health and their vitality as being significantly higher. They also felt that they functioned better socially. Oh, my word. That means when they're out in public, or like, tomorrow morning, what if you go to church? Instead of having a frown on your face and wanting to argue and complain, maybe you'll be a little bit happier. It'll be easier for your true personality to come out, which is pretty glowing and nice, right? All right, here's the conclusion. Standardized vitamin D supplementation in veterans that had multiple areas of chronic bad pain can be effective in alleviating their pain and improving their sleep and various aspects of the quality of their life. This is the last thing that the author of the study said. He said, a randomized controlled clinical trial with different supplementation schedules would provide a better understanding of the effects and the limitations of vitamin D supplementation in this population and reveal its possible underlying mechanism. That's just a fancy way of saying we're going to need to do more study to find out how this stuff really works. But in the real world, let me ask you this. Do you really have to go to a doctor to figure out if you're doing better or not? If you're plagued by chronic pain and your sleep is the pits, and you wake up exhausted from fighting the pain all night long, do you really need a study to determine if you're better or not, especially if you go, oh my goodness, I actually am sleeping deeper and better, and your wife turns to you and says, is it because you hurt less? And you're going to say, why, yes, that would be true. That would be correct. Well, no wonder you're feeling better, sweetheart. It's because you slept better last night. Why, thank you for making me a cup of coffee. Well, I haven't heard a thank you in years. Anyway, in the real world, this is all you need. If you make a change or an adjustment to your dietary regimen or maybe supplementation, maybe you're taking something like magnesium all of a sudden and vitamin D3 and you're saying, what is going to happen to my health if I start taking a supplement of magnesium and vitamin D? And you give it a while. I mean, it's not going to work in one day. I mean, you know that. This is not drugs. It's not like somebody's giving you a boatload of trazodone or Ambien or something like that. But if you can start to satisfy your body's requirements and start feeding your body vitamin D3 and also some magnesium, for example, what if over time, you made the observation, I am feeling so much better emotionally. I'm just not as irritable. I think it's because I don't have as much pain. Or maybe I'm just sleeping a whole lot better at night. Anyway, I don't think this needs to be a difficult conversation. Like if a person says, okay, I have decided that I am not going to eat a boatload of sugar every day, and I'm going to try to err on the side of getting sufficient amounts of protein. So what they do is they say, instead of eating honey buns for breakfast and a big glass of orange juice and then having a Pop-Tart, I don't know why I said that, but if you have a whole bunch of like breakfast cereal, like Fruit Loops, what if you just had like an omelet? What if the person says, Dr. Morgan, is it significant that when I give up sugar, I have more energy now, my mind is more clear, and I've lost a whole bunch of weight? I'm thinking to myself, way to go, look at you. That's great. That's like a great result. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's been a total pleasure being with you today. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week. You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.